Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters.
Alhamdulillah.
Let's get into the tea.
You already know the vibes.
Alhamdulillah, we are back with episode 6.
Yes, sir.
6, yep. We made it to episode 6, alhamdulillah.
Can you believe it? Episode 6. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, but you know, we're trying little by little. We're trying to be consistent. But also keep in mind that we work, we have a child. So if some weeks are off, you already know. But we're trying our best, inshallah, to provide you guys with glamorous content. And if you would like to support our channel, there's a link in the description somewhere in our channel, somewhere where you can donate. You know, take a look at it, rate us, leave us a review. Just anything to help our channel get up there, inshallah.
Inshallah. So what are we going to talk about today, babe?
Today is going to be about taking your kids back home to, you know, study the deen, memorize the Quran. And I really want to sit and talk to you about how was your experience, whether you recommend it, you know, and sort of da da da. Okay. So I'm going to be into it. I'm going to ask you some questions and I need you to answer in the simplest form.
Sweetheart, I'm going to answer it the way Yage answers things. You know the vibes.
We're about to go in circles.
Because you know why?
Let me tell you guys something.
Do you know why?
Hold on. Let me tell you guys something.
Can I just say that? Do you know why? Because I have to say my quota. It's because I'm from Gambisara. Okanda Gambia.
You know the game.
Why are you doing that,
bro? During the game, somebody said, you know, during the game, somebody said, all right, he got to let go of that.
Of what?
The Gambisara.
Say what?
What? That's not gonna say who, but somebody said it.
I know
who said it. You be who?
I'm not saying names, but I know.
But say,
I don't want to say names.
He be overdoing his jokes. Like, we get it, bro.
It's not overdoing jokes.
We laughed. We laughed one episode, please. Don't bore us to death.
You see how we start off? It's like an intro.
It's not. It's a part of my intro. It was part of one episode. What do you guys think? Because he be doing too much with this Gambisara joke. Like, we get it.
They didn't even hear it.
It's dying.
I'm from Gambisara, the place that gave birth to Gambia. Okwanda Gambia, Sara. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, I don't know if it's that you're getting old or something.
I am. That's dad jokes.
Yeah, I think so. Because even like, you get the vibe. That's like 2020, bro.
Let's not get the vibe.
I mean, yes, sir, you already know the vibe. That's like 2020, bro. When are you going to let that go?
Nah,
is it because of age that you're not continuing with us or something?
He's
like lag behind.
You already know the vibes. That's what's up. Everybody says that. That's a vibe.
So when did you go to Taffy? First of all, how did your parents tell you that you were going to Taffy's?
They didn't tell me I was going to no Taffy's.
So what did they say?
You talking about before we went to Africa? Because they told me, my mom told me that, yo, we're going to send you to Gambia. And then she showed me pictures on internet, right? I still don't remember how my mom even got that.
Did the pictures look like?
Hey, it was nice. It was, you know... Do you ever go to Paradise in Gambia?
Oh, the beach, the resort,
Resort. It's not a hotel, but it's like houses, but right. It's like a nice house.
So how did you get those pictures?
I swear to God, well, I really don't know. I'm still surprised, mm-hmm. But my mom showed me that, right? She said, yeah, the Gambia don't print it. And I was like, wow, they be violent in Africa. Talking about Africa's ugly. Whoa, this looks beautiful because that area is, you know, is known for its beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yes, I'm hyper now.
She said you're going to go there for?
They didn't tell me that. They said, you know, you're going to go, you're going to ride horses. That's all I needed to hear.
And it was you and your cousins, right?
I didn't know I was going to go with them at first.
Oh, really?
Know? Yeah, they didn't. It was just my mom telling me that I'm going to go.
Okay.
You know, and ride horses and everything. So you already know now I'm an American kid. I always dreamt of sitting on a horse.
But you never ever
seen. You know
what's
the saddest part?
What?
I never sat on no horse in Gambia because I was highly afraid of it. I said, nah, that joint drops me. I'm dead.
But I have a question though. You've never, like, when they told you you're going, you didn't think, am I ever going to come back?
No. Because my mind was just, yes, horse. I just thought about, I'm going to sit and ride a horse. You see
How
where
old
my
were you
mouth?
again?
I was 13. I think no, something, yeah, 12, going on to 13, because we left there when I was 13, going on to 14. Yeah, but they had me in that mindset. So
So how long did you go to Gambia?
we was there for like almost 7 years.
No, listen, how long were you in Gambia before you went to Tafis?
2, 3 months, I think.
And then you went to Tafis. But
Yeah.
when you were going, you first didn't know you were going to Tafis. So when in Gambia did you realize you were going to Tafis?
One day she bought me the beds and everything. I didn't even know where it was. I thought I was just moving out of my grandfather's house.
Nah, that's
I didn't know what
crazy.
Tafis was. Nobody told me anything about it. I just thought, hey, they bought me some clothes. Well, not clothes, but like food and stuff like that. You know, because they violated my snacks. So,
So I'm confused. They bought you these things. They never sat you down and said you're going.
nope.
So the day you found out is when you walked
I
into
was just
Tafis.
inside Tafis. You know, and like I said, it was my grandfather's Tafis, so it didn't really feel like it was a Tafis. It always felt like it was just another house. Like, so I'm like,
Where was this? Where was this?
it
In
was in
Talindi?
Costa Road. No,
Also.
Costa Road. Yeah, Costa
Okay.
Road. Sintu Alaji.
That was the
Hey.
Tafis name?
No, that was
Street?
the borough, whatever. Yeah, the street.
The
Oh,
hood.
that was that. You see how it's 183rd or whatever, Webster. That was our Webster.
Okay. So what was
Sintu
your
Alaji.
Tafis' name?
I think it was Masjid Khadija Ummul Mu'minun As-Sunnah. This
Okay.
ustaz just made that name up. I'm like, but his daughter was named Khadija,
So
so
how long was that, was you in that specific Tafis?
that's 4 to 5 years I stayed.
And the name always stayed that?
Yep.
Ummul what?
Masjid Khadija Ummul Mu'minun As-Sunnah.
Did they make you recite that or something?
No, I
Oh.
just remembered it because I didn't even know it had a name
So
until
what was the
like 4 years
conditions of
later
that
we found
Tafis?
out.
Oh,
Yeah, but you want me to tell you about my first night in Qarla?
tell me the conditions of the Khadram.
Like I said, our Qarla was like it didn't feel like a Qarla. It felt like it was a house. Like it honestly felt like it was
It
just a
was
home.
clean, everything.
Yeah, from the beginning, yeah, the beginning was nice. When you know a lot of tahfiz, when there's not a lot of students, it's easier and it's like more better, cause, and y'all eat better. But then once students
More
start
kids
coming,
come,
more people
less.
come, you know, people start hearing the name of the Kharla and stuff like that. So yeah, then that's when it becomes a little bit tougher. But our Kharla in general, for me personally, it was not hard. I'm gonna be
So, how
honest.
was your first night in Tafis?
Okay, so you know. They telling me, oh, they brought me the stuff and stuff. So now we get to the challah, and I'm looking around. Like I said, it was like, this is your grandfather. Yeah. He said, hey, kuduguna. So
But
I,
let's tell everyone that this is not your direct grandfather.
yeah, no, he's like my grandfather's cousin. You know how it is
So
in
one of the
African culture.
grandfathers, yeah.
As long as they related, they cousins, brothers, that's your grandfather. So they're like, oh, this is your grandfather. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so I'm shy at first. Normally, I'm a shy person when I don't really know you or I'm not comfortable with you. I'm shy. So, you know, they're like, okay. They're like, this is your grandfather. I'm like, okay, yeah. He's trying to joke with me, but I was too shy to joke back. Little did he know that was the wrong move to do to me
Right,
because
to open that street
open
door
that
over
key
it.
lift for us. He should have kept it at the shyness, but he messed up, right? But then, yeah, so now I get there and. They was like, so at the time I didn't have a bed. They didn't buy me a bed yet. So they're like, you're gonna share bed with somebody. Me personally, I don't like sharing. Like, oh, I don't feel comfortable sleeping next to a guy.
Why
That's not.
didn't they buy you a bed?
At the time, they was getting my bed. They was gonna buy it because
Oh.
one of my uncles said he'll buy a bed for me. Yada, my dad's best friend. So he was like, he'll buy a bed for me. But he obviously they sent me and he didn't know at first. At the day I was going, he didn't
Right.
know. So he was like, oh, you're gonna share a bed with this guy.
And who was this guy?
Some student.
Is he like your, do you know him now?
Yeah, I know him now. But yeah, it was like, you know, you're gonna share a bed with him. I'm like, nah. I'm like, nope, I don't do that. You feel me? Like, and then you know, long story short, I ended up like there was a kid named Muhammad.
I'm sorry, before we continue with this episode, I would like to clarify some things for people who don't know what is Tafis. Tafis is a boarding school, an Islamic boarding school where kids are sent Sometimes it's like you live there, so you complete memorizing the Quran.
Yeah.
But sometimes you go back and forth every day, like regular school. Like I know
no, women. No, Tahfiz, you don't go back and forth.
Or what is that called again?
That's madrasa. Oh, madrasa, is right. Where you go back and forth. Right.
A lot of times that's like girls do that, or even guys do
madrasa,
that.
Madrasa, wait, so madrasa is like Arabic school. I forgot the name is exactly what we used to call it.
So Tahfiz is the boarding school.
Boarding school where you right. stay there
until you finish memorizing until the Quran. You some people don't always end up memorizing the Quran, they end up leaving, or some people run away, yada yada yada. But we'll, you know, get into that. But sorry, continue.
Yeah, so you know, I remember they was telling me, so some of the students was telling me, yo, you know, there's a jinnah, a jinn. They said there's a jinn in this qarla. I'm like, oh, word, mind you, I don't speak Sarangulit. So they telling me this whole time, bro. Hey, there's a jinn here. Be ready, like a ghost. Just so you know, we're warning you. There's a ghost. So pretty much trying to scare me.
When they were saying that, what did you think?
I was just like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
Being down with the vibe.
I had no idea what they were talking about, but I just kept saying, yeah, oh, okay. Oh, there's a jinnah here. Wow, I thought there was a person named jinnah.
Right, like we did. We outside.
Yeah, I'm thinking I didn't understand what they meant. So they kept saying, there's a jinnah. I'm like, okay, bet. Yeah, no problem. And then, you know, nighttime came. So I shared beds with Muhammad.
Your cousin?
No, Muhammad Danso. The one that I call my little brother.
Oh, yeah.
That's because with him, I connected with him because some kid was trying to pretty much outsmart him to buy him some sandwich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I don't know. I hate when I see someone trying to take advantage of somebody.
Wow.
So I was like, no. I said to Muhammad, come here. Who is this kid? Why?
So you the media.
Yeah, I was like, is that your cousin, your brother? He said, no. He said, he's trying to make me buy him. But I said, make you buy it? Do you want to buy it for him? No, but he's going to. I said, you're not buying it for him. I told that kid, he ain't buying it for you. And if you got a problem with it, we can handle it outside. And this is my first day there. I barely know these people, right? So I'm already on static with him. I'm like, because I felt like he was trying to take advantage of the kid.
Mm.
And I just kept thinking, what if that was me? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, I shared a bed with him, right? Because he was like my little, in my mind, my little brother, right? So then nighttime comes, right? They go. So I see some kids walking back and forth. And now I'm like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? I'm thinking, what's going on here? So I just kept looking, act like I was asleep, but I was actually watching the whole thing happen. And then I seen them like talking and everybody's like literally smiling, thinking like, you know. So I was like, okay, they're going to do something. I thought they were trying to jump me. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know what was happening. So then next thing you know, he put a blanket over his head. Ooh. If he would have known, he would not have did that. I pulled him in and punched him. Like I punched him in the back to the point where he couldn't even breathe. So I'm thinking, I was like, oh my God, did I just kill this kid or something? Like, you know what I mean?
But you thought they were going to jump you?
I thought they were trying to jump me. That was my mindset. You know what I mean? So I didn't know that they made it a new tradition that when a new kid comes, they're going to scare you saying there's a jinn.
I wonder if they even
they did it to someone
that.
Before me.
Oh.
So one kid came like 2-3 days before me, before I came. So when they did it to him, he started crying in the corner. Abba, like, daddy, there's a ghost. Daddy, there's a ghost. So since they did that, and it was so funny, they was like, okay, we're going to do it to this guy. Little did they know. I don't know what y'all mean when y'all said jinnah. Y'all was supposed to say it to me in English. If they would have said in English, yo, there's a ghost in here,
what?
I would have probably panicked. Like, what? A ghost? Oh, my God. Yeah. But they kept saying jinnah. I'm like, who is jinnah in my head? But I didn't want to ask them that because I was shy. I didn't want to look stupid.
Hmm.
So I'm like, who? Like, you know, yeah, I know. Oh, okay, really? But alhamdulillah. So my first night. I was putting people in, I was putting work in. I was beating these little kids up for not. I'm sorry though. You know who you are. The one that I punched, you know who you are. Everybody, all the Karalimus, they come look at me like, yo, you wild. I'm like, brother, I didn't even know what he was trying to do. I thought he was trying to jump me. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they explained to me, no, we was acting like he was a ghost.
So how was your like learning experience there? Like, how would you say like?
In Mahala, like I said, Mahala was easy. I'm not gonna lie. We didn't really, well, for me, didn't struggle. Like, my learning, I felt I like our khalas learning. Because, no offense, I heard some other khalas. Like, there was a khala that I...
Tahfiz.
A tahfiz, yeah. There was a tahfiz that, I ain't gonna lie, when their students was reading the Quran, I was like, they don't know the Quran that well, or I didn't like how they recite it. Like, I felt like their
huruf,
the way their grammar in the Quran was bad. Like,
tajweed?
It was the tajweed was terrible in my mind. And that's not to say, but I felt like we had the tajweed.
Right.
Like, the way we recite the verses is not perfect, obviously. I feel like we could do better, but it's good.
Right.
Compared to Allah, I feel like we were miles ahead of them.
So how long did it take you to finish reading the Quran? Not memorize, just finish reading.
So, you know, we finish it, memorize, finish it type vibe.
Oh, so as you're reading, you're memorizing?
Yes. So every day, every morning. So this was our schedule. We'll wake up for Fajr. I mean, because our Qadla is different. We was doing Tahfiz and Madrasa. That's not normal. You know what that is?
Yeah.
So Tahfiz, obviously boarding school. Madrasa is Arabic school. So we was doing those two. So because of that, we wake up in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. Or 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. So we go. The ones who's going for Madrasa in the morning, they read first. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, so they read first and then boom, they go get ready. And then if we do an afternoon classes, then we go after. You know what I mean? But I think it was, what was the schedule? I'm trying to remember. I'll say 3 a.m. to Fajr, which was most likely 5, 5 to 6, right? Then, like I said, they go. And then the ones, since I was doing afternoon, what time we was getting out? 8. So after we get out at 8, we come back like 11 to 12. 12 to 3, right? And then once it hits 3, we go, get ready. Now we go in the madrasa until nighttime, pretty much. But yeah. And then after Sahur, Isha prayer, we recite.
Okay. So like how long would it say it took you to do to finish Quran and completely the first time?
It took me 4 years.
4 years? Wow.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that's not really a lot. That's not really long.
It is long because when some kids did 2, 3 years, I'm like, Lord.
Like what I'm saying, like people who, I mean, nah, it actually is long.
It is long, baby. Your husband was bugging.
Well, what happened though?
So my problem was I wasn't patient. I'll be honest. So I was the type, like I said, it was my grandfather's Qadla, so no
offense.
You
was a little bit spoiled?
Not even spoiled. I just didn't respect it.
You took advantage.
Yeah, you can say something like that. I just didn't respect it.
Someone who say I don't like people who take advantage?
I don't. But like, yeah, I don't like it. But I didn't take advantage because I could have got beaten. It was just the fact that I didn't care. I got to a point where I didn't really care. So I'll go to, you know, like I said, it's boarding school. You're not supposed to go back to your family house. I go to our family house and I'll stay there for a month. And then I come back like nothing happened. So I ruined it for myself. I'm going to be honest. I could have memorized it, but I think I got to a point where I just gave up.
What were the toughest challenges, though? Do you feel like, I remember we talked about this like off the podcast where like you felt like you were trying to catch up with people.
Oh, that's the thing. Not even catch up. Like, I was always the type, I was competitive. You know, I like to pass people, but I don't like to be passed. You understand? Like, if I come in and you're like 3, 4 students, I'm gonna try my best to catch up to pass you.
Even if you're, like, say you trying your best to pass them, so everything you reading right now might not be 100%, but as long as you pass
them. Yeah, my mindset was not to make sure I got, that's what messed me up, right? Because I was trying to rush things. Instead of trying to take my time and really, really memorize and sit down and, like, revise. So, if anybody's going to Qadla, I will always say, it's not about how quick you get it done. Take your time and strengthen the back.
Right.
Because I didn't strengthen it. That's what messed me up. So, I started just flying. Like, I'm passing people. And I'm happy. Because, like I said, I'm competitive. But then that's when I started noticing my muraja, meaning, like, my revision was off.
Right.
Like, I started.
The people that really won the race is those who actually memorized the Quran.
Yeah.
Right?
So, me, it was like my revision was off because I was going so fast that I didn't really revise them. Right? So, I remember one of my cousins came and I was ahead, way ahead of him. So, you know, he came. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on this surah. If you need help, I'll teach you. Like, I got you. This kid just, like, Allah really gives people that. He just started going, like, and it was not, he was going faster than me, one, and his revision was strong, too.
Point, right.
I don't know what he was doing, but that kid Allah I bless sumaraka.
Alhamdulillah.
Like, yo, I was just in shock. So I think the moment where I started, like, you know what, forget about this, is when he caught up to me. My heart broke. Because when he came into the khala, I was way ahead of him.
Right.
So now he catch.
But
he
didn't play. You going to your family vacation. Every...
No, at that time, I wasn't bugging.
Oh, okay.
I didn't start. That's when I started the bugging. Because I started seeing this kid is catching up to me. So I started trying to make it seem, like, give myself an excuse of why he passed me.
So it seems like you were, like, influenced by other people's progress. Like, that kind of slowed you down. I wouldn't say it's peer pressure, but, like, you basically relied on, you being ahead of people to push you to keep going.
Yeah.
When you weren't relying really on the main goal to actually memorize it.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, I regret it because the way I was moving, I feel like I could have did better. Or
you,
I could have
wasn't
stopped.
Moving humbly, brother.
Yeah, I was, I'll say I was showing off a little bit. I like to pass people and be like, yeah, I passed
And then what happens?
Yeah, I didn't have good intention, and this is why I didn't memorize it, I would say. But I remember one time even... فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ You stop. SubhanAllah. Abu Jafar. Abu Jafar. Wifey Mungreya, she forgot. Arba'ina Nawawi. But yeah, so I would say...
فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ
وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا أَوْ مَرَاتٌ
يَنْقِيُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ
رواه
بخاري
ومسلم. No, that's not what it is. Imam Muhaddithina.
أنا مش أرواه إمام المحدثين أبو عبد الله محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
Okay, hold on. We don't
need to do that.
It's a hadith about intention. That's right. What we just recited.
Whatever
right?
you intend is what you're gonna get basically.
Pretty much.
Basically, my husband over here was intending just to beat people in the race to finish the Quran, but he wasn't intending to like actually understand and get the proper tajweed and actually memorize the Quran.
Yeah.
Which is why he didn't. Oh, did you end up memorizing the Quran?
No, I just finished it.
Right, which is why he didn't memorize the Quran. So, you know,
this is when I knew like it was bad. Is when one day I'm like I finished the Quran now. I'm done. Now it's time to revise.
Mm-hmm. So that means from
Qul? From Baqarah to Nas. Okay. Pretty much, you gotta revise, right?
Right.
So, alhamdulillah, Baqarah easy. I used to know Baqarah al-Imran.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to Nisa. I never even tried it. I'm not gonna lie. The thought of it scared me.
The fear.
Yeah, because Nisa, when I finished it, was a little bit tough on me. Nothing crazy, but the reciting the whole surah was a little bit tough on me.
Mm-hmm.
So now I started getting panicked. So that's when I started running. Or not running, walking out the Qarla. I never ran. I always walked out and came back. Let's clear that out. I never ran away.
Mm-hmm.
I go home. I tell them, yo, I'm going to get something from my grandfather's house. I'll leave 1 month. I'm staying there.
Mm-mm.
And then I'll come back as if nothing happened. It was like they got to the point where they don't know what they could do with me. You know what I mean? Which is bad. Like, I regret it, but it was what had happened in my case. But I knew it was bad when one day I was revising, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading a page. Baby, it was like I was taking dars. I was reading it. Like trying to memorize it as if I was taking a new lesson.
Wow.
I was like, oh man, this is not good. When I started, like, you know how you be like, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid. I was like this, Qul huwallahu
ahad. You've never seen the page before.
La ilaha illallah. So now I'm like, okay, let me try to memorize it. Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul huwallahu ahad.
But at that point, you just had to start fresh, babe.
It was like, whoa, this is not good. And I kept thinking, if I told my ustaz I did not memorize it, they're going to beat the brakes off of me. Well, not really. I didn't really care about the beating. But I was like, nah, this is embarrassing. I was embarrassed. I was more embarrassed. I think I had an ego and a pride, which is why I couldn't memorize it.
Right.
It was not, I messed up. It was pride that messed me up.
Mm-hmm.
So which is bad. Arrogance and pride is bad for you.
Yeah. And Tafi, did they beat you guys a lot?
Huh? I think I got the most beaten out of all of the students. And it was not because I didn't memorize.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting beat because of these students. They used to, every new dean, we always have a dean, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they used to go to. Mm-hmm.
They'd go to the dean. They'd be like, yo, you know this guy never cried?
And then you'd be like, yeah.
So many times.
And you'd be like,
I never said, no, babe. Okay. I never said, yeah. They go to him. I don't know why they did that, but every new dean that came to the Qarla, they'd be like, yo, you know, Biagi never cried. They beat him and he never teared. Nobody ever seen his tears. Oh, man. Now this guy is just like, I'm going to target this guy. I'm going to have to get him. I'm going to be the one to make him cry. Because in their mind, oh, I'm assuming.
They're basically trying to break you.
Not even that. If I get this guy to cry, these other students are going to respect me.
Right.
They're going to be like, hold up. He made Biagi cry. All right, let's listen to him. Let's like pretty much worship this man. Because they looked at me like I was invincible, which I'm not proud of, but that's how the students, especially the
little kids.
So did
you ever cry with anyone?
Not in their face. Behind? Oh, yeah, I teared up for sure.
So they will beat you and then you will not cry there?
This is my problem, because since I was here, if I get hit, I smile or laugh, which people used to think I was possessed. Remember I told you one of my aunt thought I was possessed? Because she took a bell and started whooping me. And I just started laughing. She said, hey, what is wrong with this kid? You know, so I had that habit. Now mm-hmm. it became a habit of mine. So when I got beat, always, I get up and I smile. Although I'm in pain, they don't know because I'm smiling in their face. Mm-hmm. So when with those sides, you get tight at me like, yo, who you think you are?
And he keep putting you more.
He hit me more, but then I still do ego and pride, mm-hmm. which is bad, right? I smile again.
So... You said you cried after, but wasn't the pain
gone
by then?
No, it was one time. Nah. One time, though, I cried. Like, I teared up. I normally don't tear, but that one time that he got me good, I ain't gonna lie, I teared up, like, on the low, though. Nobody knew. Now, a lot of our students is about to hear about it. Yeah, I just didn't want them to, because I think, like I said, I didn't want the kids to see me cry. So, because of that ego and pride, I held in my tears, but then when he let me go, I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah. I ain't going to no bathroom. I went straight to the room. Ah, my bad.
So would you ever want your son to go through that? Not your thought he's experiencing the beating I'm talking about.
Nah.
That's wild,
right? That beating. Yeah. Because like I said, and the beatings that a lot of them gave me was not on no honest level. So I think why when I cried when that guy hit me, because it was a matter of he hit me on a lie. It was like I said, I was targeted. Right. So he hit me on a lie, on some false situation. So now it was like anger with pain mixed together. So
like I should even never got hit. I'm tight.
Yeah. So that's why I started crying. I was plotting to murder this man too. I was like, I'm going to kill him today. Stuff like that. Because it was like.
But this is what happens. Mad. A lot of Tafis end up on fire because the kids get really frustrated and they end up setting the whole Qarla on fire.
Facts. That's true.
I never thought that though. It's true though. But like yours was like, you're going to get him. But
I said, I'm going to kill him.
Kids really, bro. Oh my God. Kids have like, oh, when you know, I feel so sorry for those kids.
Because I remember one beating that they gave me. Mm-hmm. Yo, this guy beat me so bad that my back started bleeding, but I didn't know. Like I learned, like it's literally the day before vacation, or the actual day of vacation. We're going on vacation after that class, right? So he told us we needed to memorize. He told everybody, obviously, it was not only me. Only two students memorized it, right? It was Tajweed. That's why I hate Tajweed. You see the Yaqulu Raji?
Yeah.
You know why I hate it? It was because of that. So. He told us, like, okay, it was like out of nowhere. All right, everybody read it. Now nobody was prepared. So everybody's like, oh, man, I didn't memorize it. Eh? So now he's like, okay, everybody get up. Jimmy, like Ben, and then the Johnny, vup, vup, vup. And like I said, a lot of time, they quoting it. So now everybody got hit like about, let's say he hit everybody like, 8-9 times, I got like 15 whips that day.
Wow.
So he hit me the most, right? And then, like I said, I didn't know that I was bleeding on my back. Because like I said, I have that ego, so I smile again, obviously. And then after when he left, one of the kids was like, yo, I could have sworn your shirt was white. That's when I said, what? He said, did you put a different design on your back or something? Because it's red. I said, what you mean it's red? Well, that's how I found out. He said, bro, you don't, it's like red lines. So it was like the Janis that he landed.
The whips.
Yeah, almost not all of them.
The lash marks.
The marks, because he was accurate. I ain't gonna lie. That guy's hand was perfect. He landed on his accuracy was on point. He landed the Janis like, it was like, I think if I'm not wrong, it was like six rows.
Damn.
So my back has six, that thing has six red lines
That's crazy.
on the shirt. And it was a kaftan, a white kaftan, you know? And it was one of my favorite kaftans too, right? My favorite thobes. So when he told me that, I said, "What do you mean? Design on my back." I took it off. See, when you see red, it's a real thing. I seen red and I flipped. Yo, like then that's when the pain just came out of rushing, like whoop.
And what'd you do?
I went out. I said, "I'm looking for him. I'm gonna go kill this guy." Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, I was
I'm not your
going.
bro, bro.
Sorry, man. I really was spazzing out. Like I seen red. Like it was like the devil took over pretty much. Like I didn't think about
Is that when
anybody.
you spazzed out?
And then that's the same day we left. And then my mom happened to call me that same night. You know, my mom calling me to check up on me. Oh, that
What?
was the wrong day for her to call me. I said, "Man, y'all
Probably.
better take me out of that boarding school, or else I'm killing everybody." Stop for life.
Not.
This is why it's a person who smiles and laughs and is happy all the time. Don't let them get mad because they
I'm kidding.
lower to you.
Everybody got it.
Nah, you know what I mean? I was like, "Yo, y'all better take me out. Like, it's over with. I'm not going back." Biagi, calm. My mom is like, "Calm down." And I'm cursing. My mom got scared. Like, what's going on with my son? Like, she started panicking. Biagi, calm. She had to hang up, call back, hang up again because I'm still spazzing. Like, I kept seeing red that day. It was like I said, the devil took over that day. And then she called my grandfather, who then came to me and talked to me. And that's when I
And
calmed
what he
down.
said?
Like, "Yo, you're scaring your mother." So once he said
Oh.
that, my heart broke. Like, damn. You know what I mean? He's like,
Man.
"Yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing? You make your mom panic. Huh? Yeah, this is not good." I'm like,
Man.
"What you mean?" "So you're scaring your mom." So it was like my brain wasn't thinking about her. It was just me, what I'm going through. And
Man.
I felt bad. Oh, I felt terrible, while I. And she was you can hear her voice crack, you know, on the phone. And I'm like, "I'm so sorry, Ma," because I never want to be the type, you know, make my mom feel bad. I'm like, "I'm so sorry, yada yada. It was not that. It's just they beat me so bad."
They almost killed me,
I
but
was like, they really was trying to murder me. You know what I mean?
and what
So
she said?
she felt bad for me, obviously. She said, "Yeah, but you can't go about it like this. Like, you coming
Kill
at me."
everybody? Oh
Yeah.
yeah, right.
You
You
know,
have
'cause I was
to
spazzing on the phone with her and cursing and everything. And my mom never seen that side to me because I'm always happy kid. So it was like to her a shock. What is going on? Like, what did they do to my son? But alhamdulillah, you know, I definitely went back to Allah because I was feeling guilty of what I did already to my mom. I probably was not gonna go back if my grandfather didn't come.
Right. And you
But
remember that time I told you when they killed my cousin at the office?
where you wanna elaborate on that?
You remember? He was at the office, and I don't know what was the situation, if he did something, or I don't know if it was a lie, or he I don't know, to be honest. But they basically beat him and lock him in the room with no food.
Wow.
Yep. I don't know, like, did they beat him crazy enough where he was so weak that he
Nah,
passed away?
sometimes he's.
And this is not the first time this happened in my family.
Wow.
No, and
Oh, it was not
it's
only him?
no. And
Really?
then when they go to the Dafis and do an investigation, everybody act like, oh, nah, nothing happened. Oh, we didn't do this. But deep down, we know.
Yeah,
It's so sad.
it's sad because they treat you like you're not human. Some
Yeah.
ustazes is understandable,
I'm not
but
saying
there's
all.
some that
They
it's
be
like,
ODing.
babe, it's like the anger that they have,
They put it
they
on
take it
that
out on
child.
you.
This is not your child.
Exactly.
And you will be questioned for this on the day of judgment.
100%. Because if I was to ever go, if let's say I send my child, let's say Bob, we sent him to Tafis, right? I'm gonna tell those ustaz, "Yo, you can hit him. But if you go to an excessive amount and he tells me you wild out, I'm coming and I'm hitting you too, bro." Like, I'm swinging at you
I'm not
on.
even gonna allow them to him. There's ways to discipline kids without hitting.
I mean, the thing about, I can't say no to
Babe,
the beating,
do you see,
the
for
benefit.
example, Park Chester, they be hitting their kids?
I don't know how it is over
They
there
don't
then.
hit their kids. This is under DOE.
Hey, but I'm Abdurrahman. You didn't hear what he said? How
What?
limrical, how they be acting sometimes?
But at the end of the day, kids are gonna be kids.
100%.
You can't control that by beating them to death.
Nah, it's crazy. I know that.
But either way, they are memorizing Quran. Kids are gonna be kids,
100%.
right? But that's not only how they act based on the school. No, their parents could be spoiling them too. And Abdul Rahman also told us that
Yeah, that's
too,
what he was saying. The parents
right?
be
But that don't
spoiling the
have to.
kid.
You don't have to hit a kid to teach a kid,
A little spanking on the hand, with your hand, not with a Johnny.
right?
Like with the hand, like a little knuckle
Or
on the
you know,
head,
if a
smack.
child has respect for their teacher,
Yeah.
or the respect and love of their parents, the child themselves would not want to disappoint that person.
Yeah.
That's what we have to understand. I remember I was watching a lecture from Sheikh Yahya Rabi, and he was saying how when he was 10, he knew his parents loved the Quran so much, and he knew that's what they desired for him. So he would just go to madrasa, do the what he needs to do, memorize whatever he needs to do, do his Arabic homework, and he would just be excited to tell his mom, just so he could see his mom be so excited for him.
Yeah, that's good.
That's how we start off, right? Yeah. 100%. You have to have that same interest and that same ambition towards your child so they can do what you want.
Yeah, but also, that's what they was telling me. The child has to see it in the parent.
Exactly.
If we never see our parents, like, sit down and really try to read the Quran, although I'm not allowed, we did grow up with my dad. He used to always have, after work, he'll come and you'll see a little Quran in his hand, and he used to always listen to the Quran. So we grew up with that. Right? We definitely seen that.
But it's also the child has to want it for themselves.
100%.
You have to teach the child the importance of the Quran.
Yes.
You have to teach the child, this is why we read the Quran. Why you as a parent are so in love with the Quran and the deen. You have to teach your child that. It's about them seeing them, but you also have to word it to them. I feel like a lot of our parents, they put us in Qadallah. Yeah, we see them read the Quran time to time. But do we see their love and devotion?
Like, see how enjoyable it is.
Right. And how you got to make it
fun.
Work.
You got to make it fun for kids. Like, when you're teaching them, you're right, babe, you're right. The way the Tahfiz does it is not correct, because you have to make the kid want to learn. But if you put it, I think the Tahfiz's tactic is fear. We're going to scare him until he wants to.
Right.
Because now you're going to be like, I got to get out
of here. And then what happens when you're not there anymore?
Facts. A lot of them forget it, or
they go back to their old ways when nobody's there beating them up. But if a child just enjoys simply reading the Quran,
that's true.
No one has to tell you, pick up your mushaf and read it.
Remember the cousin that I told you that he caught up to me and passed me?
Right.
It was because he told his mom he wanted to go.
So I've noticed
a lot of the students or kids that go with the intent that I want to learn it or I want to go memorize it, they become like A students. It's like Allah literally helps them, right? Because I only seen him struggle on one. Out of the whole Quran, one page. And it's not like he didn't memorize it within that day.
Right.
He memorized it within the day. But that was the only time, like, those stars, he went to those stars, he recited it. And those stars told him, no, it's not good enough. Go back.
Right.
It's not like he didn't memorize it. He said it was not good enough, right? So he had to go back. But that was, I never seen that. That was one time. I'm like, yo, me? They used to send me back, like, come, go back. You know what I mean?
And it's okay. Like, the Quran is not going to be easy for everyone. But it's about 100%. Those who never give up.
It's a matter of,
and if you're,
do I want this
and
or not?
Also, right, you're right on that. But even, like, you had a hard time going back and forth, right? With your muraja. You struggle. People struggle. It's normal. What do you say? People who struggle get twice the reward.
Right? Yeah.
But it's about, if I see my child struggling, I'm going to push them. We're going to have to do it together.
Yeah.
But it's no giving up on this side. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact. And that's where I've messed up. I gave up. You know? Because I could have somebody that could have been patient. This time I could be a part of the group who calls themselves Hafiz. And the funny thing
and
is,
you
like
can
I
still
said,
be part of the group that call you Hafiz.
I mean, yeah.
Don't give up.
It's a little bit, I mean, yeah.
No, don't give
not
up.
Say that.
People are 80 something years old. They memorize the Quran.
No. You know what I was going to say, but
what?
I don't want to not encourage anybody to not do it. So definitely go try and memorize
what
the Quran.
What you was going
to
say?
I was going to say, go look with Hilly.
Let me tell you something about this man. He thinks because he got two jobs, it's the end of the world.
It's not that.
It's
like
stop
I barely.
With that.
I'm gonna be honest. I feel like it's like.
Babe, let me tell you. Let me tell you something.
But if you really want to do
me
it,
tell
you
something.
Can do it. I get what you mean.
In this life, you make time for whatever you want to do.
100%.
Right.
It's
even
not
a, if you have to stay up after school every day, to online with your teacher, you will find the teacher that is dedicated to you. Even if you have to stay after Isha, memorize a page a day until you memorize the Quran, you're going to do it. It's
100%.
Not about two jobs. That's not an excuse.
That's
babe.
What I'm saying.
Our parents worked in this America for 30 years plus. That didn't stop them from accomplishing most of their goals. They never complained to, oh, I have a job. I can't do this. Right? That's not an excuse. Two jobs is not an excuse. And if it is an excuse towards your deen, then that means you got to cut one job off. Which one you picking? This dunya or the akhirah?
I'm picking both.
right now, it don't sound like you're picking both of them, but you keep complaining about them two jobs. Ain't nobody forcing you to work two jobs.
I can't. It's a matter of, I have mint indie right now, to be honest.
May I make it intention for you soon?
I mean. But like, it's definitely something that I remember, like I said, when I was doing whatever I was doing, like I said, my grandfather, he was like, yo, he said, you're going to regret this one day. I looked at that man like, you bugging. I want to get up out of here. You know what I mean? I'm like, I ain't going to regret nothing. Now, when I really sit down, I do regret it. Like, yeah, you really couldn't be patient. You literally finished it. You only had like a year to go. You really couldn't just sit down and really memorize it. You know, like, because the blessing of having a Quran memorized, they say your parents get a golden crown.
Right.
And then your status in Jannah goes up by how much you was pretty much reading it. And, you know, how much you memorized it or whatever, your status goes up.
That's like not to say those who have memorized the Quran, make sure you are working upon
it. Yes, that's what I mean. Like, you got to be on it. It's not like saying, oh, I memorized it, I'm good. Have to always be reciting it. The way you, because even the ones who read it, it's like how your relationship with the Quran, how strong it is how high your status is in Jannah.
When Aisha radiallahu anha used to teach people the Quran, she wouldn't move on unless they worked by what they learned. For example, if she's teaching you an ayah about charity, you have to go give charity before she moves on. What? Because she doesn't want anybody
to not understand it and work by it.
The Quran can testify for you, right? Let the Quran testify for you that you work for the Quran, right?
Yeah.
You work in translation for what you've read and you learned, right?
Yeah. That's a fact. Oh, wow. I never knew that. That's something that I just learned too. Wow, that's amazing. But even me, I want Ba to memorize it.
Of course I want Ba to memorize it.
Would you want him to go to Gambia?
No, I wouldn't want him to go to Gambia.
Where would you want him to memorize it?
If we could do it in New York, like the thousands of other people that have done in New York, yes. Even if it takes me having to go sit with him every afternoon, stop working just so my kids are able to memorize the Quran, I would do it. Even if I have to sit alongside, like, babe, you don't understand how much I yearn. For my kids to be on the deen.
No. Why she said I? We.
No, I'm saying me because I know you, but young, but saying, I'm just talking about me right now. Yeah, like, if I have to stop my job.
It's
no more me.
It's a we thingy now, babe.
But, babe, I'm talking about me personally.
Okay.
If I had to, like, stop working and just go, just be their chauffeur to Qarla and back, sit with them. If I need to start memorizing with them so we can all memorize the Quran, or they can memorize it. And I don't have to finish with them. But the point that they see someone's trying, someone also wants this as bad as they want them.
It'll probably push them. I ain't gonna lie, I like that mentality. I definitely think that's a good thing. I definitely would want him to memorize it because, like I said, I know the regret that I have. But
it's also, we have to be showing it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like he's knowing stuff a little bit here and there now. We gotta start showing him more and more, reciting in front of him. Because, you know, he be seeing us praying, alhamdulillah, together. And he literally is quiet. When he sees us praying, he's quiet. No matter how much noise he make, once he sees us, alhamdulillah, he be quiet. And he's watching. So, inshallah, may Allah allow him to be a person who loves prayer.
I love the deen. Be someone who is an advocate for the deen.
Inshallah. But inshallah, he's going to memorize it. That's inshallah, the goal.
May all our kids memorize the Quran.
All of us. Whoever's listening.
May we all memorize the Quran.
Inshallah. Whoever's listening, may your child memorize it. And if you don't have a child, may Allah bless you with a child.
Amen.
Whether it's a son or a daughter. And may he allow them to be upon the deen.
Amen.
And the quota for today is what? After every hardship comes ease. So no matter what you're going through in life, the difficulties that you're going through, it's going to pass. Always remember that.
Right.
Because we all went through something that we like, whoa. And then when it passed, you're like, wow. You know, Allah, that's a promise by Allah. So I'm not the one that said
nothing
that.
Nothing ever stays
hard. After every hardship comes ease, that's from the Quran, Surah 2. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. And what's the ayah? Inna ma'al usri yusra.
And whatever you think of your Lord is whatever your Lord is, right?
So don't worry. If you're going through something, just be patient. The ease is coming.
Right.
I promise you. Inshallah. So that is the end of our episode.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed it. Yeah. I pray Allah grants us all our desires.
Ameena.
May Allah grant us all on Sunnah and Tawheed.
Ameena.
May Allah have mercy on our parents.
Ameena.
May Allah grant them on Sunnah and Tawheed.
Ameena.
May Allah grant our what is it called? Like our
Umma.
Umma, but you know, our great 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 grandchildren, our lineage. Guide them on Sunnah and Tawheed. May Allah allow Islam to stay within our lineage forever. Ameen.
Yeah, may he make us amongst those
who enter Jannatul
Firdaws. Inshallah, because that's the one that really matters. And may he make us pass, like my dad always says, Surat, the Sirat al Mustaqim. May he let us pass the bridge with ease.
Mm-hmm. Like a flash of light.
Like a blink of an eye, not even a flash. A blink of an eye.
That's flash
like
of light fast. Is easier. It's faster than a blink of an eye.
No, blink of an eye is
a
faster.
Flash of light is, hey, babe.
No,
you went to school, babe.
I'm telling you, babe. That's the fastest one.
Let me search it up, babe. Do you know how fast is the speed of light? Speed of light,
baby. Look at me.
Speed.
Look at me, baby. Babe, I'm telling you, it's blinking of an eye. Search it up.
Hold on. Speed of light is 299792458 milliseconds.
Okay, blink of an eye. How much is that? Blink of an eye. Yeah, I heard that. Let's see what blink of an eye is. How much is a blink of an eye?
1 to 4 seconds. Not milliseconds. Regular seconds.
No.
Speed of light is milliseconds.
That's a millisecond, babe. 0.1?
Babe, no.
0.1.
0.4.
0.1 or 0.4.
But it doesn't say millisecond. Okay, you're right. But it doesn't say millisecond.
That is a milli... Babe, 0.1 millisecond that is. Like you said, that one was 0.2 something.
Anyways, my husband only got his. Let me just say, my brother don't go to college.
Kind of violent. Because you got your bachelor's, you think you...
Hey.
Okay, babe. You want to take it that way? Nah, we're not ending the episode no more. You want to take it that way, right? Remember when I said a word?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.